us then confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice.
God appear. Rejoice. Of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Readings of Holy Scripture for this, the third Sunday in Advent, the Old Testament reading from the third chapter of the prophet Zephaniah. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem, for the Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors. And I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at that time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you.
The epistle lesson from the fourth chapter of Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 29 through 35.
Glory to you, Lord.
The disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight, and he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. And yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. "To what then shall I compare the people of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance, and we sang a dirge, and you did not weep.' For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by all her children." This is the gospel of our Lord. We together confess our holy Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. On this Gaudete Sunday, as we rejoice in preparation for the coming of our Savior into our flesh, this is our text, dear friends in Christ. These words, spoken by the Lord and quoted by the evangelist St. Luke, directed the minds of the crowd to the greatness of the one whose coming was heralded even by the prophet Malachi, whose voice sounded forth the word of the Lord of hosts, saying, "Behold, I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me." It was said of John by the angel Gabriel unto his father Zechariah, that "you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord." John was truly a great man indeed, for even from his gestative state, his joy at the coming of the Lord, heralded by the voice of the Mother of God, could not but cause him to leap inside his own mother, Elizabeth. It was told of John by the angel Gabriel that he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. As the Lord Jesus reported to the crowd, "Truly, among those born of women, there was not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, whose own lips showed forth and thus made ready a people for the coming of the Lord, the way." As great as John the Baptist was, whose voice cried out in the wilderness of man's sinful despairing, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths," whose words shepherded sinners unto a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, there would be found one in the kingdom of God who was greater than he. The Lord Jesus, in making such report to the crowd, was not playing a trick on them. He was not mincing words so to distract the crowd from the departing messengers of John and their questioning. Our Lord was, in fact, quite emphatically giving answer to those questions presented publicly concerning him. "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Always the teacher, our Lord understood well the difficulty in being so great a man born among women as to have drawn the attention of the Pharisees and lawyers of the time, who, according to the report given by St. Luke, just heard for us in the reading of today's gospel, had come out to see the one donned in prophet apparel, yet had refrained from receiving the offered baptism. Even as the Baptists' baptizing had been refused by such venomous teachers of the law, so too was the one whose birth heralded the coming of the law's fulfillment to be rejected likewise. Though John may have been great, and though he may have been the greater in age, having been born prior to the one whose way he would prepare by preaching, the least, or in better translation, the lesser in age in the kingdom of God, with the fullness of the Holy Spirit even from conception, would be greater than his baptizer. Our Lord and Savior, ever the teacher, knew his own teaching would far exceed that of the preaching preparing his own way. John came neither eating nor drinking. The world's only Savior reported. The world's only Savior came both eating and drinking, bringing fellowship divine of food and drink to the table at which sinners might dine with and even upon the one whom they had sinned against, whose own body and blood would not merely offer knowledge of salvation, as the Baptist's preaching did, but would furthermore be the very salvation such preaching would acknowledge. Behold the Lamb of God, the paschal offering to be consumed in sacred ritualistic manner, who takes away the sin of the world. Our Savior knew, when those messengers of John came unto him, what was needed for the sake of the knowledge of salvation at that time. Even as he had once spoken unto the Capernaum official in Cana, unless you all see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And so our gracious Lord provided what was needed to be believed in that hour. St. Luke reports, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. No such deeds are recorded in Holy Writ to have been accredited to the Baptist, whose messengers came inquiring. These men, uncertain as to whom they were waiting for, were made privy to the greatness of the one born of woman, yet who was without an earthly father, like the priest Zechariah made mute by unbelief. These messengers were enlightened through the reception of sight by the blind, the returning of hearing to the deaf, and the lame being made able to walk again. These men from John were sent back to give their own report of what they themselves had seen and heard for themselves. The true greatness of the one who is lesser in the kingdom of God in age than the one who was greater in age, yet was merely the herald. Why return to the Baptist with any doubt of mind, the Savior thought? What cause for rejoicing is there in uncertainty, in questioning the word of the Lord through his servants, the prophets, in doubting the fulfillment of the promise of God to remove the devil's deadly venom from those bitten in temptation? Should not the whole world rejoice that the one promised so very long ago, who told his people that his great messenger would merely prepare the way, the truth, and the life before his public appearance, has truly appeared and made good on the promise so long hoped within? Why cower in questioning when lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, and the truly destitute have good news preached to them? And those who are not offended at the greatness of Jesus, the greatness of his word, the ancient threat of his Father's command, and the nearly equal ancient majesty of his Father's promise, made good upon in sending forth his only begotten Son to be born of a virgin mother, to offer up himself as the once and for all sacrifice for every sinner, are they not truly blessed by the presence of him who deigns to dwell with them and within them, to be their Savior, their Lord, and their God? And what of us? Are we to be such as those who spoke in such ways of our Savior, or of whom our Savior spoke? Are we to wallow in doubt and questioning as the ways of the world, the devil, and our sinful flesh wreak havoc on the integrity of our faith? Shall we take our place among the generation that sits in the marketplace, playing the flute for those who do not dance, or singing a dirge for those who do not weep? Do our sins of thought, word, and deed not relegate our own flesh to the company of those who decry the Baptist as having a demon, and the Son of Man, whom he heralded as looking like a drunkard and a glutton, a friend of tax collectors and sinners? Woe unto us who are drunkards and gluttons, tax collectors and sinners, if we should lack such a friend as the very paschal lamb that removes from us our eternally graven offenses against the Lord of hosts. Woe unto us whose own ways put us in the company of the Pharisees and lawyers, if we should likewise refuse the baptism offered unto us and all the teaching of our Lord that is conveyed unto us along with it? Yet much is given us to hope in. Great is the one in whom we may truly rejoice. Thanks to the coming of him whose way the Baptist prepared, our spiritual blindness has been given sight. Our spiritual lameness has been made to walk in his righteous path. Our sinful leprosy has been cleansed, and our sin-deaf ears have been made to hear the voice of him who has called us out of sin's darkness and into his glorious, marvelous light. Thanks to the merciful, steadfast faithfulness of our Father in heaven, we who were but dead in the trespasses of our sin have been raised from the dead to new and everlasting life through our baptism into Christ Jesus our Lord. Blessed are we whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord our God. Blessed are we who trust in the word of him who did truly make the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. Blessed are we who believe the word of him who keeps faith forever. Blessed are we who rely upon him who executes justice for the oppressed. Blessed are we who are fed by him who gives food to the hungry. Blessed are we who remember and do not forget that the Lord sets the prisoners free. Blessed are we whose eyes of faith may see that the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Blessed are we who are humbled to the truth that the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. For as the psalmist has uttered, the Lord loves the righteous. It is not easy to remain blessed in a sin-ravaged world, beaten and torn by the devil's ways. Too many fall prey to the temptation to despair of the Lord's commands and promises, and to seek rather the company and pleasure of what remains blind, lame, leprous, deaf, dead, and poor in this dying world. Many forget Advent for the sake of Christmas observance that is devoid of observing Christ and the gifts that he comes to bring. Too many people have been brought into a perpetual forgetfulness that Jesus came to save sinners from their sin rather than leaving them in its destructive path. Such are those who forget the words of the prophets, like those of Zephaniah, who did not avoid reminding God's people in his time that they, just like us, truly do have judgments against us, that we are truly in the midst of enemies, both those we can see and those we cannot. We cannot discount the threat against the very fortune of faith given to us in Christ our Lord, threats outside of us and even within us. Yet amidst the struggle against such threats, even our weaknesses and offenses, we have this cause to rejoice and be glad. Our Savior has come and has delivered on the promise of what his prophet Zephaniah once declared. And so on this Gaudete Sunday, to the church of God which is in Christ Jesus, the Lord says, "Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at that time when I gather you together. For I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. In this blessed Advent season, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise for prayer.
Let us now pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Today, as we pray, we recall those from among us who grieve their dearly departed, including David Priest and his family, as they grieve the death of David's sister. We pray for those hospitalized or ill among us or facing surgery, namely Glenda Berge and Michael Gruno, Jesse Gonzalez, and Patricia Townsend. We pray for My Farm and Josefina Gonzalez, Willard Siebert, and Jack Thomas, those who are homebound or otherwise unable to attend. And we pray for these endeavors of Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Agnus Dei Lutheran Classical Academy, its Homeschool Together Day, and Bay Area Lutheran Young Adults Organization. For these and others, let us now pray. Almighty Father, everlasting God, besides whom there is no true God, through the blessed Apostle Paul, your Holy Spirit has instructed us not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to make our requests known to you. Therefore, at your fatherly bidding and confident in your commitment to hear us through Jesus Christ, mercifully regard us, and grant, we ask, what we now present before you. Lord, in your mercy, Father, since you have reconciled the world to yourself through Jesus, and since you will rescue and glorify us when Jesus returns, by your Holy Spirit, help us now, amid our doubts and misgivings that assail us, and where they have succeeded in robbing it from us, restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with your gracious Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. O Holy Spirit, sanctifier of all the elect, grant to us Christians genuine faith, certain hope, and fervent love, that in every way our lives confess that the Lord is near. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, without whom the builder of a house builds in vain, bless Agnus Dei Lutheran Classical Academy, bless Homeschool Together Day, and bless Bay Area Lutheran Young Adults, that these endeavors of this congregation may be fruitful and enduring, meeting the needs of those that they serve. Lord, in your mercy. Father, all compassionate and kind, quiet us by your love. To those who are mourning, including David and family, bind up the brokenhearted. To those who are widowed, help them in life's every day. To those seeking a godly spouse, assure them of your love and goodwill. Grant them patience, courage, and boldness. To those agitated and frustrated, work in them so that their gentleness may be known to everyone. To those depressed, grant the help and courage they need to see the sun of your grace already shining behind the clouds. To those who are ill, homebound, or facing surgery, including Glenda and Michael, Jesse and Patricia, my Josefina, Willard, and Jack. Grant them steadfast faith in you to measure your love for them not by sight, but by the blessed crucifixion of Jesus for them and for us. Father, quiet us by your love. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, to whom has been given all authority in heaven and on earth and in the church, bless with vigor and virtue our leaders in the ecclesial and in the civil realms, granting them all necessary to serve you and your world faithfully according to their given posts. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, you have taken away the judgments against us. You have changed our shame into dignity and honor. You have gathered us as a people among all the peoples of the earth. And with the blessed sacrament of the altar, you have given to us a festal meal of exceedingly great joy and abundant in riches, for which we thank you. May we use this meal rightly and often to your praise and our good. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, remind us that even now you are in our midst, and with your peace that transcends all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Mercy, O Lord.
gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.